Who can I talk to?
Can anyone relate to what I'm going through?
Who else understands what it's like to have cancer?
Sometimes you don't want to talk about cancer with people you know. You just want to talk with someone who knows how you feel. Open 24/7, Macmillan Cancer Support's online community is a safe space to connect with people who understand what it's like to have cancer. It's free to use and anonymous. From day one, whatever you need to get off your chest, community members are available day and night to offer support on the online forum. Talk openly and honestly with people who've been there too. You're not in this alone. We're here to help. To join, search Macmillan Online Community.
Hey, podcast listeners. Have you heard? You can listen to your favorite podcasts ad-free. Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts. That's amazon.co.uk/adfreepodcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens.
I'm Ronnie. That's Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. Happy Monday on 110 degree day in the valley in Los Angeles. You're not in the valley, but you know. How's it going over there? How you holding up, my little tiger?
Holding up well. I'm in the air conditioning, thank God. It's blazing hot outside. How are you doing over there in the valley? I'm on the other side of the hill, so it's not quite as hot, but it's already pretty horrific over here.
Well, I'm doing great. Good. Loving it. Having a great time. And it's a big day for us here at Watch What Crappens. We've got a lot going on this week, everybody. So hold tight. Here's what's happening. We are going to be covering Chimp Crazy, final episode right now. That's coming right up today. And then after that, we're going to be recapping the first episode of Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. The preview was on our main feed last week. We're going to do this one on the main feed. And that's it, because they all dropped in one day. So we're going to see how that goes. Maybe we'll put a couple on Patreon later. I don't know. See how you like it. But that'll be coming later this week. Also, we're going to be doing all the regular Bravo shows and Crappy Hour tonight, which is our live Instagram live / YouTube live show. So join us for that, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. Really enjoy talking to you, reading your comments, talking about Bravo news, etc. Okay. And I think that's it for now. How are you feeling about that, Ben?
I'm feeling great. I'm really excited to wrap up this show and move on to Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. That is a hoot. But, you know, we have business to attend to. Like, what's going to happen to Tanky B? Is Alan Cumming going to be reunited with his chimp that he claims he remembers so vividly? I don't know. A lot of pressing questions for this final hour of this documentary. Yes.
So we open with another scene of Tanya. I mean, you know, when you go to acting class or something like that, or when you read like a review on a movie or acting or whatever, people are like, you know, it's really, they're so comfortable on camera. It's like they were born for it. You know, there's like a certain thing about being comfortable. Tanya would poop on camera. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, she is just comfortable on camera. I can just imagine her just squatting and pooping just on the camera. You can, she'll let you film anything. And they literally just sit there this entire documentary and just hold the camera on this crazy lady. This one is her just in bed, sleeping with her eyes closed. Lord, well, she's not sleeping. She's thinking deeply, but it looks like she's sleeping. And you just hear, like, weird choking mouth sounds. Like, I don't know what's even going on with her. And then she just goes, I'm ready. What are you doing over there? What's happening? Why are you shooting this?
This is a lady who is, she is, like, lonely, or there's something in her where she just gravitates to people who need her. And this documentary crew needs her, and I think she wants to be needed, as was explained last episode. And whether it's a monkey or a documentary filmmaker, she is going to go to where she feels like she could be of use. So she's like, well, I'm going to do a documentary. It's going to look like an idiot. And, you know, it's going to undo my entire evil plan. But, well, then they need me. So I'm going to lie down on this bed and, you know, open my eyes for them. That's what they need.
So we get a monologue from her to open it. And while the monologue is going on, we get scenes from King Kong, where King Kong is holding Jessica Lange. That's Jessica Lange, right?
I believe so, yeah.
And, oh my God, youth. Am I right? Like, Where's it gone? Where's my youth gone? You know, I'm sorry I'm sorry to be so like narcissistic about everything, but like, all I could think of watching this is like, I don't want to age. Like, I hate aging. It's so lame. And like, I want a monkey. And, you know, why doesn't anybody bathe me like they bathe Jessica?
That's a terrible takeaway from this. I want a monkey.
I do though. I mean, I totally get the fascination that these people have, you know? Mm-mm.
No, like, it's so, like, to me, it's like reverse fascination. Like, I don't want an animal that could at some point decide to rip my entire face off. I don't want an animal that's just gonna like fling its poop around. Like, it's human-like, but I don't know, why not just get a human at that point?
I think it's because I listen to a lot of Dateline and I watch like a lot of mysteries, and you know, I'm obsessed with really dark stories, but like, here's what I know. People kill you all the time. We still talk to people. Like, what are you going to stop talking to people? Like, there are school shootings. I still am nice to children. You know what I mean? Like, you still have to put yourself out there. I mean, that was a very dramatic jump there. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know why that jumped into my head, but you know what I mean? Like, you still got to put yourself out there. It's bad, but
I don't want a baby or a chimp. Okay. How about a plant? How about a nice little potted plant? Okay. That a potted plant is not going to rip your face off unless, you know, something weird is going on.
Well, it could. You know, we watched Little Shop of Horrors. But anyway, I get it. I think he's cute. I want one. Okay, so she's like, Tank always makes me feel safe. Which is just such a funny way to frame it, because we literally watched people get ripped limb from limb on this show. But she's like, yeah, Tank makes me feel safe. If he's around, no one's ever going to hurt me, ever. Because if someone breaks into my house, Tank will, I guess I'll just run up to the bars of his prison and make a couple of ooh, ooh, oohs. I'm not really sure how he could save me. Hopefully I'll fling some poop at him until they go away. But I don't know. I'm not afraid of you, robbers.
You know, his eyes are so soft and so loving. You know, that's Tanka's soul. That's the spirit. And you should see the way his eyes glaze over when I give him a box of nerds. Oh, God, that sugar rush. His eyes basically turn into spirals at that point. And then he falls back and he's pretty much passed out for the rest of the day. But, you know, he's just a very kind and loving person. And everybody gets mad. And, you know, especially like my husband, because he thinks I should put him before Tank, Tanky B. But there's no way that Jerry's as loyal as Tanka is to me. I mean, is Tanka forced to be loyal to me? Because if he's not loyal to me, does he not get any food? Perhaps. Is he forced to be nice to me because without me, he can't watch Instagram videos of other monkeys? Perhaps, but, you know, no one's going to be as loyal as Tank.
Hey, is Jerry loyal to me? I don't know. I mean, is he hooked to a radiator? No. Is that a problem that I could fix easily? Probably. But really, would he care? Probably not. Jerry would probably love nothing more than to be chained to a goddamn radiator. Take that. Give him an excuse to not go work. He could just throw some fries at the TV and pretend he's bowling. He really was Jerry need, loser.
So now we are hearing knocking on the door, banging on the door, the sound of sirens. Authorities have come to seize Tanky B. And we see Tanya, of course, is filming it. She's like, well, I got a duty as a filmmaker.
You better get it on my iPhone. Can I get it? Sure.
Let me make sure everyone can see this by shaking my camera around a lot and aiming it at my shoes for half the footage.
If it was that Mormon show, she'd be making a TikTok with that song. Love me, love me. She'd be like dancing and it would just say, FBI has showed up to take my chips.
Love me. When the authorities showed up at her door, I was like, can Mom Talk even survive this? I'm not sure.
And she's so calm. I mean, look, I get pulled over by the police for a speeding ticket or whatever, and I poop myself. I'm like, I'm dead. I'm going to prison. They're going to kill me. I'm like, yeah. I'm terrified. They come to my window. I'm like, yes, sir, what can I do for you? She's got fucking, they're around the block. You look out, they're lined up down the block. You know, there's helicopters. And she's like, we got a real shit show over here, motherfuckers. We're fucking Pee Wee Herman. Bring on Pee Wee, I can take him. She's that, like, nothing phases this lady.
Yeah, by the way, I think, like, I would have preferred some sort of context for what the hell was going on. I mean, we could deduce that they're there to take the monkey, but then it seems like it's She seems to be able to walk in and out of her house, you know, without any issues. I thought she'd get arrested. Is she going to be arrested? Like, where was the documentary crew to, like, where was their footage of them talking to the PETA guy to explain what they were trying to do, or police officers? It was, like, a totally out-of-context moment that just sort of starts the show. And so she's there. She's looking at the authorities. And so she calls up Dwayne. And, or actually, he calls her. And he's like, are you all right? And she's like, no. There's about five of them, and they're sitting in my semi-formal dining room, and I'm out in Jerry's truck. I love that she's like, I've got my formal dining room, and I've got my semi-formal dining room for all of Tanya's semi-formal dinner parties that she has at her zoo house.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the one with the barca loungers. Better fucking respect where they're sitting, I'll tell you that much. And yeah, I'm in Jerry's truck. You know, apparently on May 22nd, someone recorded me talking about Tonk, and they turned me in about him putting him down. Did you hear me? Did you hear me, Dwayne? And Dwayne's like, yep, just juggling some bowling pins. Yeah, well, they knew everything. Whoever gave me up gave him an audio recording. I'm going to have to go through my phone. I'm going to have to look at who I talked to on May the 22nd. Yeah, gosh, I hope I find time to do that at some point. But at some point, I will. May 22nd. I'm going to look it up.
I wonder who I could have talked to on that day who had recording equipment that I also felt comfortable enough divulging important information to. I don't know, Dwayne. I'm having trouble thinking. You think you can, let's see, can you help me out with this one? I'm trying to think. Who did I speak? I didn't even speak to anyone. I think I only spoke to you. So do you know who it could have been? I'm really at a loss here.
Dwayne's like, hey, do me a favor, Ton. Feel behind your ear. Wow, is there a nickel there? How'd that get there? That's exactly right, Tonya. That's exactly right. All right, well, sure hope I can figure out who I talked to on the 22nd of May. He's like, okay, so you're not in custody, right? She's like, well, I got a consultation to get my lips filled at 4:15, and got to make that appointment.
You know, I understand they're trying to take away my monkey baby. You know, he's basically my son. He's my kid. He's my kid. That's what we call him, my kid. He means everything to me, Tonky B, and I know nothing's going to get in between me and Tonky B, because that's my kid. But as it turns out, I do have to go to the med spa at 4:15, so we're just going to, fingers crossed, he's still there when I get back.
So then she's like, I got a plan, I'm getting him out of here tonight. And I didn't know if this, I was hoping it had something to do with the lip appointment. Like, she was going to have that guy from the Pet Boys who does her lip injections helping her. Like, okay, lips are ready, and sneak him in, get him in here. You know, like, maybe just make her lips so big that the monkey's hiding behind him. I have no idea. Or that she was going to take Tonk in and just get him some new boob, you know, some new Restylane, some boobs, some big lips, make him like unrecognizable. I don't know, but it never came back. I think she was just getting her lips done. And you know what? I love her gumption.
Yeah, I just am so confused. If the authorities were in her semi-formal dining room and there was like five people in there, and she's surrounded by officers, like, why did she think that she was going to be able to get him out of there tonight? It seemed to me like they were going to take Tonk that day. I was just confused. Maybe they just like set up a perimeter to make sure she couldn't get him out. But
she's
like,
got huevos of steel. That's how. I mean, how did she? This woman does whatever she wants, and she hasn't been caught yet. I mean, she kidnapped him right before the raid and got him to the second floor of a Motel 6. I mean, why would she think she's going to get caught?
Yeah,
just like, I do whatever I want. I'm taking Tonky to the Oscar Awards, but, you know, after that, we can maybe hang out, you know? We're going to go do a couple of rounds of the Olympics. Delusion wins, I'm telling you.
Yeah. I'm going to go to Mexico, have some Mexicans build him a nice hammock. So Eric is like, he's on the phone with Dwayne. Eric is the actual director. And he's like, so apparently the entire phone call with Tanya's public record, it's not even sealed. It's just right out there. And Dwayne's like, oh. So he's like, well, the question is, where does that leave us? And he's like, well, 100% she's going to know. And whether she knows now or later, like, did you get any sense that she was suspicious? And Dwayne's like, no, like, she still has not figured it out.
Not suspicious at all. She hasn't figured out how to go back in her phone logs and look at May 22nd yet. So I think we're okay. We're probably okay for a few days. So then we go and we see him getting ready to film, you know, him going in there, putting on a wire and stuff. And he's like,
yeah.
Oh, gosh, what do you guys think? Well, first of all, you should probably take off the nose. Oh, All right.
I know.
All right. Do I look all right? Like, are you going to squirt her with the water flower? I wouldn't do that. It's a tense situation.
Maybe regular shoes instead of those 6 foot long ones. Yeah. So
this is not the time to be tripping.
So, yeah, I guess what we find out here is that the authorities can't take Tonk away until the vet comes and is able, until there is a vet who can come and then can do like an exam. So they're just all the authorities are just like camped out waiting, the marshals, etc. So Dwayne, yeah, he is he infiltrates Tanya's house wearing a wire, which is so funny. It's so excessive. He literally could have come in there with a full on camera and she would be like, oh, thank God there's someone here to document my side of the story. Anyway, I just don't know. Someone's documenting me and I guess they turned me in. I don't know who else it could have been. So I don't know. Maybe one of the other clowns you got hidden in your car.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, oh, I see a U.S. Marshal out there camped out. She's like, oh, God. Yeah, there he is. You know, oh, it's just my hair looks horrible, but thanks. Oh, by the way, guess what? Rolling Stones magazine interviewed me. I hope it's a good one. We'll see about that.
Dwayne's like, wait, they're going to put you on the cover of Rolling Stone? You know, then he turns to Tanya's son, who's just standing there in the kitchen. And he's like, you know, you kids are too young to remember. But if you were a rock star or a very popular clown, to get your picture on the cover of Rolling Stone was like, I mean, that was like getting your picture on the cover of Time magazine. And the son just like stares at him like, A, I don't even know what Time magazine is. B, why are you here?
Exactly. He's like, tell me about the talkies, old man. Tell me about the talkies.
He's like, I've got Call of Duty to play.
So she's like, oh, you know, I don't know who snitched, but it was on the news, Dwayne. I hardly told anybody, Dwayne. I didn't even tell Connie. Honestly, I wanted to take him out of here tonight. I'm going to take him out of here tonight. What do you have to say for yourself, Dwayne? What do you think? And he's just like, why are you making circus music? Oh, sorry. I thought I was using my inside voice. All right, stop making the circus music. We just have to figure out who did I talk to on May 22nd. May 22nd.
I'm going to stare at you for a long time, which makes it seem like I know it was you. But it turns out I'm just going to stare. I'm just staring. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, she's got that kind of a face. When they showed her young getting married and she just looked like completely vacant, you know, she had like those weird little bangs and she was just kind of staring off into space. I think she's one of those people that really does get better with age because now it all just kind of makes sense. It just looks like she's got, you know, a lot of Botox and stuff, but I think that's just her personality. I think the Botox makes her personality work, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Cause I think she just has that kind of blank staring at a wall, kind of a stare. Yeah. She doesn't really have a lot of drool coming down her mouth, but I would imagine that sometimes she does. And she's just staring at him like that. Like, I would break under the pressure. I started admitting shit just watching the show. I was like, I did know that that parking meter wasn't broken. I'm sorry. I parked there anyway. I did have ice cream last night and I had that shit DoorDash. I'm sorry.
So basically Dwayne's like, listen, I think it's time for it to end. You know, if you try to go on the run, PETA's going to love it. You'll be on America's Most Wanted. Like, you really shouldn't. And she's like, I don't know. So now, you know,
I've always only wanted to be wanted. So that actually sounds pretty good. And you're saying I would be the entire country's most wanted? Well, sign me up.
Yeah, I'm into it. So then it's the next day and, you know, there's just more people outside. So now she's watching and she's like, well, there's Jared Goodman right there, little weasel fucking prick. He better fucking stay away. He better make sure he's on the sidewalk when I come out with my car because I'm gonna run him over as soon as I get a chance to. Okay, you better watch his ass, little fucking handsy.
And her kid's like, don't do anything silly, mama. She's like, be quiet, other son. Be quiet. You know, listen, I'm not going to say I'm not going to go postal because let me tell you, I'm not ready to let him go. He's not ready to go. He's like a kid. You just can't take someone's kid away.
Yeah, it's like if they tried to take Justin, huh?
Now you can take Justin. Yeah. Justin, go.
Mom, they're going to arrest me. They're going to arrest me to try to get you to talk. Oh, well, you know, have fun in jail. You'll meet some new friends. It's about time for a new place.
Hey, Weasel, you want to take someone? Take Justin.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
What's up, guys? It's your girl Kiki, and my podcast is back with a new season. And let me tell you, it's too good. And I'm diving into the brains of entertainment's best and brightest, okay? Every episode, I bring on a friend. I mean, the likes of Amy Poehler, Kel Mitchell, Vivica Fox, the list goes on. So follow, watch, and listen to Baby. This is Kiki Palmer on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
she struck him with her motor vehicle, she had been under the influence, and then she left him there.
In January 2022, local woman Karen Reed was implicated in the mysterious death of her boyfriend, Boston police officer John O'Keefe. It was alleged that after an innocent night out for drinks with friends, Karen and John got into a lover's quarrel en route to the next location. What happens next depends on who you ask. Was it a crime of passion?
If you believe the prosecution, it's because the evidence was so compelling. This was clearly an intentional act. And his cause of death was blunt force trauma with hypothermia.
Or a corrupt police cover-up.
If you believe the defense theory, however, this was all a cover-up to prevent one of their own from going down.
Everyone had an opinion. And after the 10-week trial, the jury could not come to a unanimous decision.
To end in a mistrial, it's just a confirmation of just how complicated this case is.
Law and Crime presents the most in-depth analysis to date of the sensational case in Karen. You can listen to Karen exclusively with Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify.
So then Tanya goes downstairs to Tonka's cage where he's jumping around. And she's like, oh, this is how stressed out they make him. I mean, he literally has gone ape. That's a play on words. Right there, ape. Well, and they think that this is not harming and harassing a chimp. Look how stressed he is. Look, you know what? Like some people would say it was the bars and the tiny confinement that he's been stuck in and that this is actually him being excited that he might be moving to a new place. But no, I think it's the other way around. I think that he normally would be very unstressed in this cage. And they're making him very stressed. Right now.
It's so hot in here. I keep pressing mute to turn on the fan for little interspersed moments. So if there's a tiny moment, that's what I'm doing over here. I'm like, fan. Then I turned it off to talk.
Just put your fan on. I think the listeners will allow the sound of fan. It's okay.
Really?
Everyone,
pretty loud.
This is Ben speaking to the listeners. Raise your hand if you're okay with Ronnie turning on a fan on a heat wave. Okay. By a count, that's 50,000 to one. Whoever. Hey, fuck you, the person who said no.
But is that too loud? It's loud, I told you.
Wait, I don't hear it.
You don't?
I don't hear it.
It's the sound of Tanya staring at you, demanding an answer. he's you know, you hear him down there like, ooh. And then we cut to everybody's favorite charismatic lady, Brittany Pete. She's like, when we stepped foot on Tanya's property, we didn't know if we were going to walk out with Tonka alive or if he would come out in a body bag. Jesus, lady, do you do parties? Good Lord.
So basically, they sedated Tonka and they pulled him out. They did like a medical exam on him on the patio, which we watch. And then there's like a lot of news footage about how Tonka is essentially like, Tonka's been found. The crazy year-long story of a missing Hollywood chimp has finally come to its conclusion. So basically they pull Tonka out of there. I was like, oh, this is going to be a wild last episode, a standoff. But like we're 5 minutes in, Tonka's already being pulled off to a better life at like basically Chimp Club Med. And so, you know, off
you better
off
stop dissing my show. This is the most amazing show on television. I will not have this slander from you.
I wasn't even remotely dissing because listen, there will be dissing, but it's not. This is not it. I was just like, oh, what else? Where is this going to go? Because it's like, now what?
And you're like some season finale. So she's just. Tonka's just been rescued by the FBI. No, I'm just fucking with you. I love the news how much cred they give to celebrity, even when they're chimps. They're like, guys, it's a Hollywood star that's been rescued. He was seen in movies, Buddy and George of the Jungle,
I know.
Among others. You know, it's not just a regular chimp, guys. It is a semi-famous chimp. So
this is a chimp that like in another world, like could have been part of the Surreal Life house, you know, but unfortunately he was kept in truly a surreal life in the basement of a house in Missouri. So he really wasn't able to live out his like post fame years the way every other celebrity gets to, which is to appear on a reality show and try to like resuscitate their flame.
And then we see the house, a shot of the house, and then they transfer us to the other house, which is Travis and Sandy's house. Travis is the chimp that ripped off the lady's face, right?
Yes. Travis,
can we just pretend this stuff didn't happen? I don't like this dark stuff. I just want to follow Tanya around and that's it. Like, I want to see Tanya go to Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see Tanya, like, take a bath. I want to see Tanya. I want to see Tanya dealing with, like, Girl Scouts that come to the door. You know, I don't need to see people getting their ripped.
Not this episode. Tanya just walking around feeding camels. She's like, oh, here's
that's what I need. And look how good it was. She's like, ah, God, I love the kids. You know, I just love the kids.
The kids. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know. But instead, we go back to Stamford, Connecticut, where home of not just a Bennigan's that I used to go to, but a vicious chimp attack that we saw in episode 2. And basically, we're going back to Sandy Harold. Sandy was the owner of the chimp, and it was Sandy's friend Charla who was viciously mauled. And we have my favorite talking head, Nadina Trulini, Sandy's friend, who sits on a sofa like, oh, God, let me tell you something about Sandy. I've been wanting to talk about Sandy for a while, okay?
Yeah.
After the loss of Travis, a lot of people had their opinions about Sandy. Guess what? They were all wrong, because Sandy made a mean lasagna, and until you make a fucking good lasagna, I don't want to hear anything out of your mouths.
People were saying horrible things about Sandy. It was just horrible listening to the things they said. Oh, what, she's fucking a chimp? Really? That's what we're saying now, huh? That's what the news does now? That's what we get, mainstream media? Lamestream media is most like it, huh? Sandy never did nothing to nobody.
Yeah.
I love this lady. I was like, could this lady be on every show? I want them to cut to her on every Housewives show. Yeah. Just be like,
yeah, so that girl stalked him a little. So what? You know, like, what are you going to do? Who doesn't have an Instagram where they tell people off every once in a while, you know?
And then we see Carrie, Sandy's stepdaughter, saying, you know, it was all over the world. Sandy had to, like, you know, go into hiding, you know, and all of a sudden she's the mother that, you know, may have contributed to this horrible thing that happened to Charlotte Nash. And then we see footage from the Cleveland Clinic where they're working on Charlotte's face. And then we go to the Oprah episode where Oprah's like, you know, Oprah's like trying to... This is kind of like, it's so darkly funny because Oprah is doing this thing that's like trying to be like, I'm going to empower this woman who went through this vicious attack. But it's really just to be like, let's get some ratings out of this. She's like, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. By the way, I think a lot of people want to take a photo with you. Do you mind if I lift up that veil? I'm like, Oprah, this poor lady, she just wants to be behind her veil right now, but she lifts up the veil.
This is pre-Oprah becoming, like, changed. Yes. Because this is, like, pre, like, self-help Oprah. This was, like, still exploitation era Oprah when she's like, happy birthday, lift your veil. It's like, oh, my God. They even cut away from it in this documentary, which is explicitly about that. Well, not explicitly about that, but it is about that. And they even wouldn't feature it on this. And this is HBO. But back in those days, Oprah was just like, take off your fucking mask, lady. I get on the bus home. And she did. She did. But they cut away from it. Thank goodness.
Because you can see, I mean, her face got really like, man, I mean, like, I think that's what's so horrifying is like this lady lost her eyes. You see, she lost so many of her fingers. She lost her jaw. I mean, I don't even like it's just such a it's scary. And, you know, I'm sure she has found a way to, you know, move. What's the word? I don't know. Overcome the challenges, which I think is great. But man, that is so scary. So, yeah, we see the Oprah thing, and then Nadina's saying how she basically couldn't watch it and everything. And so she's like, well,
once Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that, like, that basically Nadina's like, once I saw Charla unveil her face, she's like, I can watch it. And, like, for the next... And basically, Sandy was inconsolable, and she was sad and lost, and, you know, everyone had basically died in her family.
Yeah, and she's like, you know, she was keeping everything intact as if Travis was still alive, huh? The Elmo doll, you know, all those pictures on the fridge, you know, was like frozen in time. And so we see shots of all that, and we see little shots of Sandy, and at one point she's like, you know, I do everything for Trav. I cook for him. I did everything for him. I cooked for him. I cleaned for him. I worked all day. I had dinner on the table. I did his laundry. And I was like, you know, if you were my friend and you were talking about a man like this, I'd be like, leave him.
You know what I mean? Like Travis, like honestly sounds lazy. There, I said it. Okay. How can you train these, how can you train these chimps to do so much, but they can't fry an egg? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, if it's your husband, leave him. If it's your son, I'd be like, you know what? Like, you need to stop spoiling this kid.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they can train them to do everything. Why is that chimp? Like, who wants to see a chimp? Like, later we see one balancing on a barrel, like rolling a barrel and like balancing on it. Where's the weed pulling? You know what I mean? Where's the chimp that knows how to use a Swiffer?
Yeah, fetch the mail, take the garbage out. So basically, Sandy was so distraught after all this happened that she sought out a medium with hopes to still be able to communicate with her husband who had died. Just kidding, not her husband, her monkey. She wanted to talk to the monkey.
Pretty much. And the medium is really good. The medium is like, today is February 2nd, and this month has something to do with Travis, an anniversary, a birthday. Travis is coming through. She's like, he died February 16th. Oh, okay. Well, he's there. He's there with you. He's telling you he's taking care of everything. Well, except he's still not working or doing any chores or cooking or doing his own laundry. And he's still throwing poop at a wall. But he says, stop worrying, mommy. Stop worrying me. And then he's telling me that there's someone else coming in. Are you getting another one? The medium's like, are you getting another fucking monkey? And she's like, I already got one.
Yesterday.
You fucking addict. Oh my God. These things are like lines of cokes in a gay bathroom. It's like some twink's ass bent over in a bathroom stall in West Hollywood, like offering up a line. What is wrong with you?
I have an update about Oprah, by the way. You remember saying like, oh, this is back
when. Speaking of doing lines off twink's asses in bars in West Hollywood. Go ahead.
Oprah Winfrey. Remember we were saying like, this was back when Oprah was more tabloidy. This attack happened in 2009. The Oprah episode probably aired in 2009 or 2010. This was late stage Oprah, because the final Oprah Winfrey show was in 2011. So this was fully when Oprah was actually.
Oh, wow. This was self-help Oprah?
This is self-help Oprah.
My God.
But she's like, I'm going to have a viral moment.
Yeah, she's like, take off your mask and then I'll give you a free Deepak Chopra book.
The reason why it looks so old, I realized whenever they show news footage, they do something. They make it look like it's really old. But I was like, when they were showing footage of Tonka being saved, that was last year, and all the footage looks like it's from like 1992. I was like, oh, they probably put a filter on it to make it look low res, so that way we can see that it's like, this is, you know, archive. This is not of the film. This is like stuff that was on TV. So that's why it looks so old. But I was like, this is like 11 years, 13 years ago.
Well, that brings up kind of a question I have about this, the production of this. Like, how do we have a recording of Sandy talking to the medium? She recorded it?
And she recorded it on audio cassette, which even by 2010, that was already a pretty dead medium, which was, that was like my first take was like, wait, she recorded on a tape?
So do you think she was recording it because she was paying for it and she just wanted to hear any like... Like, what if Tonky started talking through? What Maybe. If the lady was like, I feel Tonky.
I could see that. Well, it could be the psychic who taped it. The psychic could have. And maybe I could
like, oh my God, the medium just threw poop in my face.
This isn't just a psychic medium. It's a medium that saves dying mediums. So we're going to use audio cassette. I'm really glad I got that audio cassette burn out there on the podcast.
Yeah, I like that. You're like, let's get this back on 8-track, all right?
Fuck you, tapes.
So Eric is talking to
Now we go to Pam.
All right. So Pam is... I love Pam. Which one is Pam? Is she the trainer?
Bam, Roseanne, down at Bam. Like, oh, God, Bam. Poor Sandy. Yeah, she is really lonely, you know, for chimps. You know, there's people around you sometimes, but sometimes, even if you're in a subway station or a packed amusement park, you look around and you realize, why do I feel lonely? I'm around so many people. This is why. None of them are chimps.
Well, she missed her own chimp, and she dragged us down. Pam Rosier, you know, what I liked about having Pam Rosier come back into the documentary, because she was in the first episode, we really do have a nice, like, Jessica Lange bookend here, because we see the King Kong, young Jessica Lange. I feel like Jessica Lange, when this gets turned into the inevitable Ryan Murphy show, Jessica Lange will play Pam Rosaire. And I will be so down for that.
Oh, yeah. There will just be a lot more sobbing, because, you know, that's how Jessica Lange rolls. She's just like, Tonk. Tonk. I was beautiful. I was young. Tonk. Jessica Lange in every season of American Horror Story.
I went to the Nixon White House. I don't know. I don't even watch American Horror Story. I just got into the spirit. I got in the spirit of being like a sobbing Jessica Lange.
That's it. Jessica Lange sobbing crazily and everything. By the way, amazingly as well. Icon mother.
Icon.
Okay, so Pam's like, yeah, you know, Sandy, she's just lonely for chimps, and she, you know, she would follow us all over the country. I was talking like Tanya. She showed up all over the place. Affairs, rodeos, circus. I went to a Walmart once to get baby wipes. There she was, just pretending she was getting her own baby wipes. Said, you're not just getting your own baby wipes. We're in Alhambra. All right. What do you need? Where are you following me?
One day I ran into her and she was crying. She said she'd seen the most beautiful, beautiful, uplifting movie she'd ever seen in her life. I said, what was it? Because Planet of the Apes. She said it was a vision of what the future could be someday. I was so happy for her, but she wouldn't leave me alone.
So we see her sitting at breakfast with Chimp, her chimp Chance. And she's like, Chance, can you speak it, Chimp? Speak for him. Say, I'm a chimpanzee. And he mouths it perfectly. Yeah. And she goes, now say, I'm a Pam troglodyte. Ready? Pam troglodyte. I like that she's just being as offensive as possible with her chimp.
So Eric's asking how about Chance, basically. And Pam's like, well, the people that had him didn't have the right permits. And so he was going to get confiscated and euthanized. So I thought, hey, what are you waiting for? Go get it. So then we go back to Sandy on that recording. On the tape, stupid, outdated media. And she's like, well, she called me up and she said, you want to go partners? And I know you can't have one now. So she said you could buy it for just $33,000.
I was 20 grand short.
So Sandy sent her a certified check for that chimp. All she requested was that they name it Chance because it's given the baby another chance. And the medium's like, it gives you another chance. And she goes, it gives me another chance. It gives her another chance. It gives my neighbors another chance to
be terrified. It gives Charla.
Okay, maybe I took that one a little too far.
It gives Charla another chance to, I don't know, maybe be traumatized. Anyway, let's just focus on Sandy. Let's focus on Sandy's chance.
Giving so many chances to ambulances. We're really gonna do it. I mean, this really is a sickness that these people get. They get addicted to the monkey.
Chimp crazy.
So they're chimp crazy. They really are chimp crazy. So then we go back to Sandy's stepdaughter, Carrie, and she's like, after having a friend completely being torn up to pieces, she got another one. I mean, if you really think about it, it's kind of crazy, right? Really? I didn't have to think about it that deeply, Care. Okay.
I was like, no, I thought it was pretty normal. Wait a second. I just thought about it. This is insane. I'm like, no, it's pretty insane, even just on a very basic level.
Yeah. Well, you know, she would fly down there and she'd hang out with those chimps and she'd go down to Sarasota or whatever. She'd do it all the time. Really, really, she just loved that chimp.
Yeah. Yeah, well, she wanted Chance to stay the night with her, right? Because she stayed with us, and he wouldn't stay in the bed with her. He kept on sneaking off to me. He already knew I was his mom.
I love this competition they have. Like, good luck. Hey, thanks for the $20, Sandy. But he's never going to sleep in your bed. I'm his mama now. Chance, call this bitch a troglodyte. Do it. Do it, Chance.
So Carrie's
Sandy's just like crumpled up in a corner, going back and forth. So Nadine is like, Sandy thought visiting with Pam will really help with the pain. But in the end, it was like, wait a minute, this ain't making it better. And then it just turns I mean, turned sad. It's been sad. But basically, one day she came in and she told Carrie, you know, I'm not feeling very good, so I'm going to go take a bath. And she did. And she said, and then that was it. And we think that there may have been some, you know, self-harm or whatever here. But it turns out she literally died of a broken heart. She died of a torn aorta.
Aneurysm, something like that.
Yeah. So yeah. She's out. So then the reporter was like, Sandra Harrell died all alone, vilified to the very end for raising a wild chimp and not getting it in one single film. Wow. Wow. Wish I could celebrate this chimp more. Unfortunately, it does not know any movies. It does not know Sandra Bullock. Okay, sorry. Nobody cares. Let's go to commercial.
And Pam is saying that, you know, Sandy loved that animal. And, you know, she's like, I love my chimps, but part of you dies with them, you know. So now we go back to Dwayne and he's driving and he's trying to call Tanya and she's not answering and everything. Like, you know, he's leaving messages and he's saying like, hey, you can always reach out and find me. But like no one's.
And he's texting like tick, tick. Tick,
so slowly.
Tick, 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 tick. And the crew member starts laughing. He's like, what are you laughing at? He's like, Jesus, just watching you text like this. I mean, Christ, my job is to sit around and watch nature. And I can't fucking take it, man. use the microphone. Do something. He's like, oh, come on. I'm just trying. Hold on. I'm almost done. Tick,
tick, tick. So Tanya's figured it out mainly because not through her own and very what could have been a very simple investigation and some deduction by looking at her phone records. It's because the Rolling Stone article finally came out and the Rolling Stone article was like, yeah, there was a documentary film crew that turned Tanya into PETA. So she's like, oh, okay. So now they sit down with Cheyenne Roundtree, who is the journalist from Rolling Stone who wrote the article.
And she just seems so sweet.
Yeah.
Doesn't she? She's like, I'm really about entertainment reporting for the most part. Yeah, I heard about a story. And so I followed it. And that's where I met Tanya. I was like, oh my God, are you 12? And why are you so sweet? How is this person in entertainment? I feel like entertainment reporters like, oh, I just did heroin with... just did heroin with Taylor Swift's agent. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a rock star. That's not really a rock star, is it?
Yeah, they're normally like a Rolling Stone reporter. I used to know someone who wrote for Rolling Stone, and she was very much like, yeah, just interviewed Vitamin C. Yeah, about the graduation song. But this lady is more just like, I think, happy. She's like, she got put on the chimpanzee beat, and she's just happy for it. So
she loves it, yeah. And she's like, you know, it's a little bit different of a story, but Alan Cumming was kind of a gateway, so that's how I got to do it. How is Alan Cumming a gateway to anything? I mean, listen, I love Alan Cumming from The Good Wife and most recently The Traitors, but when all of this was going on, Alan Cumming wasn't like, I mean, they're making it sound like Julia Roberts signed on. You know?
I know. It's like, Alan Cumming's not like...
He has a lot more pull than I thought.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
I'm Dan Taberski. In 2011, something strange began to happen at the high school in Leroy, New York.
I was like at my locker and she came up to me and she was like stuttering super bad. I'm like, stop f***ing around. She's like, I can't.
A mystery illness, bizarre symptoms, and spreading fast.
It's like doubling and tripling and it's all these girls.
With a diagnosis, the state tried to keep on the down low.
Everybody thought I was holding something back.
Well, you were holding something back intentionally.
Yeah.
No, it's hysteria. It's all in your head. It's not physical. Oh my gosh, you're exaggerating.
Is this the largest mass hysteria since the witches of Salem? Or is it something else entirely?
Something's wrong here. Something's not right.
Leroy was the new Dateline, and everyone was trying to solve the murder.
A new limited series from Wondery and Pineapple Street Studios. Hysterical. Follow Hysterical on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Hysterical early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So this is around the time when this episode goes from telling the story about like, oh, this chimp and whatever, to sort of like being about itself. Because Erica's like, So why do you guys think that Tanya did this documentary with us? I was like, okay, let's talk about your movie instead. So she's like, well, I just think she wanted.
Well, yeah, because they've now become part of the story, right? They ended up becoming a character when they turned Tanya in, and it became about tricking Tanya, you know? So now they're their own victims. Dun, dun, dun. They're their own subjects.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I think that Tanya just wanted her story to be heard. And I think, you know, she's like, I think she felt backed up against the wall and, you know, basically saying that she actually just wanted a chance to explain herself. If she ever wants, like, she ever is given a chance to explain herself, she's always going to take it. And she actually seemed like she was like a really, you know, like, nice person. I actually really like her. And she seems like very sweet. And, you know, I wound up empathizing with her. But then I saw the photos of the footage of like the cage that Tonka lived in, and basically it's like what we all go through, which is like, you know, we kind of like Tanya. She does really care for these animals. It's just sort of like misplaced love. But then you see the cage and you're like, but this is wrong. This is ultimately wrong.
I loved how she kind of described Tanya as like, you know, she really sees herself. She thought if she did this documentary, she would show people that she's fighting the man, because like everyone hates PETA. So she would really get people on her side to fight the man. And then she like kind of goes through all these big grand explanations. And then she goes, also, I think that Tanya really likes to talk. And if you give her an opportunity to talk, she's going to talk. She's going to talk.
Yeah, she definitely will. So
yeah, I would be like that if I committed a crime. I'd like, yeah, I did it. Guess why I did it? This motherfucker. Let me tell you what this motherfucker did to deserve it. I'd never shut up.
So now Tonka is arriving at the Save the Chimps sanctuary, and he's arriving. They're going to put him in quarantine and everything, and he's going to be there for 90 days, and then he's going to be integrated onto one of the 12 main islands at the facility. I mean, it's like a gorgeous, it's gorgeous. We saw a little, like a snippet of it a few episodes ago, but now we really get to see it, and I'm like, God, this place looks great.
I mean, I don't see any colorful walls. I don't see any iPads. So
I don't see any figures playing in the sun. So yeah, that's true.
It's like when people go on like disconnected vacations where they're like, no phones, no TVs. We're just in the woods. And it was amazing for 4 days.
Yeah.
And then I was like, where's my chicken nuggets, bitch? So I don't know. I guess it depends on what you're used to. Because part of me, when I first saw it, I felt like I felt when I was watching Tiger King, when Carol is talking about what a hero she is, and then you actually go to her facility and you're like, well, they're still in cages. So like, what's the big difference, you know? But then as we get to see more and more of it, I'm like, oh yeah, this place is great. But you know, the guy still wanted his damn Ben and Jerry's, poor Tonk. You know, you can't just cut a person off like that.
I know. He probably really was looking for some his happy meals and everything. So now we go over to Pam Rosera again. And she's like, oh, chimps are not better off in a sanctuary. My chimps are prima donnas, you know? You gotta get rid of a bunch of... Hey, Chance, get rid of the... You gotta get rid of a bunch of the goat turds. He doesn't like them. Okay, turn around. Okay, Chance, just relax. There's no goat turds here. Okay, stop looking for it. Sit down. Put your feet up. Do a cartwheel. Do a flip. Okay, pretend you're with the Nixons. All right, great job.
Yeah, he's like trying to clean poop off his feet. Shaking, come on, you're not poop on your feet there. What are you talking about? There's no goat turds. Just stop. Oh, look, he found a goat turd. I was like, see, stop bitching at him. He found the goat turds. Okay, let the man clean the turds off his...
Yeah.
Off his pedestal or whatever. So she's like, yeah, they're real prima donnas. They don't like mosquitoes. They don't like rain. They don't like wind. I mean, a little bit of drizzle, they won't go outside. They're like the Queen of England on a leash.
Yeah, precisely. And so we see archival footage of her really at the White House during the Nixon administration. We see what's-her-face Nixon there, the daughter. And then... she's like, yeah, you know, chimps that have been in the entertainment industry have been humanized, which is funny because I think humanization is not the word I would ever put with the entertainment industry. I think most people are dehumanized when they get through the ringer of the entertainment industry.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, most people who have gone through the entertainment industry and are no longer in it seem pretty traumatized to me.
I know.
I think, girl, get you an Instagram. Scroll to some Britney, some fucking Disney kids, you know, some old Nickelodeon kids. I mean, girl, I don't think that anybody...
It's not a humanizing industry. It's not.
She's like, you know, it's pretty funny. Like, he's real happy coming out of the entertainment industry. Not really sure why he did that to his eyebrows, though. He's just, like, sharpening on eyebrows. Sorry, that wasn't the nicest joke. But yeah, poor little Chance. She's showing him Wolf of Wall Street, and Chance is just like, oh, because he's seeing himself. It's like, yeah, he recognizes Leo. He recognizes the scene. And he's jumping up and down and doing flips like, yeah, nailed it. God, back in the day when I was still young to be around Leo.
Yeah, he like many people in Hollywood, he has aged out.
Well, he was like, "Give me a fresh chimp."
So he's like, "She's like, well, Chance likes to come hang out with us in the house, but you can't live with him. You have to build a major facility, you know, like a state pen." I know a lot of people think, "Oh, well, they're in a cage, they're in a cage." Well, you know, you ask Chance, and he'll tell you he's happy. He'll tell you. I mean, he can't speak English or any language, but he'll tell you. And I was like, well, at least Pam has some boundaries. I mean, like, I like that Pam is somehow like a voice of reason. It's like, well, you know, problem with Tanya and the problem with Sandy, they live with their chimps. What you got to do is put them in a tiny cell outside the house instead.
Yeah, that she even likens to the state pen, but she's like, you know, they're animals at the end of the day. But she does kind of still, I think she's just kind of learned how to express it in a less offensive way, because when we see him, he still is hanging out in the house. Yeah. And he's sitting in her lap and all that stuff. He just he sleeps in this room.
Yeah, which so, is, I was like oddly happy to finally hear someone be like, you can't sleep in the house. Like, there's a line, you know?
And Chance seems to be more, you know, all we see of Tonka is him in a cage. We don't see, you know, and then whenever we see Tanya interacting with chimps, like when she goes to that guy's facility or whatever, we just see her walking through the cages and stuff, and they're very afraid to actually get close to the monkeys, you know. They're like opening locking five doors at a time so they can move to a different part of the cages and stuff like that. So I think this lady, it is interesting seeing her view on, or the way that she's living with them, because she hangs out with her chimp all the time. Like, he's on like a little leash, but it's not anything that he couldn't handle if he wanted to. Yeah. And he like sits in her lap still, and he's an older chimp, so yeah. See, Ben, they're not all bad. I could still get one.
I do have a feeling like, I feel like Pam Rosaire has total control over chimps. Like, no chimp is going to fuck with Pam Rosaire. She has, I don't think any human's going to fuck with Pam Rosaire. She sort of has this look like, you really want to go up against me? I'm Pam Rosaire. I know what.
Yeah, and you see it in how she talks to the chimps and stuff, because the other ones kind of they're like baby the chimps, and she's like, stop jumping up and down just because you see Leo DiCaprio. Sit down, you're acting crazy.
I know.
You're hugging me too hard.
She's a tough cookie. God. Yeah. So now we go back. Dwayne is juggling, because Dwayne's going to Dwayne. You know, now it's time to go back to that clown life. But he's basically like saying how he feels bad about what happened with Tanya and everything. And he's like, you know, Tanya knew we were always filming a documentary. You know, did she think I was the director? Yes. Am I actually just a clown? Perhaps. But she still knew roughly what she was getting into. And, you know, I always said, don't say anything you don't want the whole world to know.
Yeah. And he's like, so we've seen him trying to call her this whole episode, because finally she figures it out and just like leaves him, like won't answer the phone or something. And so he's going to try again. And she answers. She's like, hang on a second. I'm sorry. Hey, how are you? How are you? And he's like, you know, I just, I thought I needed to reach into this hat and pull out a bunny. She's like, oh, God, it's the old fucking bunny trick. All right, Dwayne. All right.
You know, I just, I want to call and tell you, sorry. It's just not what I wanted to happen at all.
No, I believe that. Believe it or not, I do believe that. Like, you know, you're the only one out of that whole crew that I thought the world of, because you do love animals, and I see it. You also seem to really enjoy pulling coins out of people's ears, which I think is cute. I didn't understand the correlation. Now I see you're just a clown, so everything makes a lot more sense.
Yeah, you're pulling quarters out of my ear, and I was really upset until I wanted a Snickers real bad, and I looked in my pocket, and I didn't have a quarter. And I thought, if Dwayne was here, he would have a quarter. Pull it right by my ear. And I reached by my ear, there was no quarter. I thought, might be time to forgive Dwayne.
By the way, Dwayne, have you researched Eric Good, your boss? Because, you know, his mom was basically a prostitute, right? His mom was trash.
He's the son of a whore. Literally the son of a whore. And we see Eric listening to it. She's like, Jesus.
His mom is
really
trash.
You're okay. Coming for my mom?
He can't take the law into his own hands. That's only something I'm actually allowed to do. You know, he's fucked up in the head. He has no right to do that. Okay, I trusted you guys. And you guys harm Tonk. You guys harm Tonky B. You didn't harm me. Look at this. Okay, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm actually okay with it. It's cool. All right, look at this picture of Tonky B that Save the Chimps posted. You look at that. Look at that face. You ain't look happy.
He looks happy.
And she's just showing this picture of Tonk like it's supposed to be miserable. He looks like a chimp. I mean, what do you... He's just like, he's adorable. Like, he has a very cute face. I mean, yeah, I mean, if it was a headshot, it wouldn't be like his commercial headshot. It would be like his dramatic one. But I mean, I think he looks like, he's not like sobbing. He's not like putting lipstick all over his face. Like, I'm losing it, you know, like Wild at Heart style. I mean, he looks handsome. She's like, look at him. Look at this heart attack waiting to happen.
Well, so do I want this documentary? No. But, you know, here's the deal. It has to be, like, I want to be about what the true story is. So if you can't beat him, you might as well get them a Happy Meal. You know what I'm saying? I'll do it. I'll sit down.
So then we go to a hotel, and we're in the Ozarks. And so here we go. And he's walking with Tanya, and he's like, wow, you sure ripped it in here. She's like, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I've been here a long time ago. I think I was younger when I came here. He's like, yeah, it even smells like 1960. She's like, oh, yeah. I get that sometimes.
So he's basically like, do you blame me for Tonka? No. I mean, if I did, I wouldn't be here. Obviously, I get a feel for people. I know people. She goes, okay, well, so in the interest of fairness, I talked to Eric Good, and I said, would you be willing to come and meet Tanya? And he said yes. So would you be willing to meet Eric? And now it's like 2 hours earlier, and Eric arrives. It's like Eric and Tanya finally going to meet.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, I'll do it. Why not? Does he have ears? Does he have questions for me? Do you think he would like to hold a camera on my face while I swallow oddly and close my eyes and maybe look around? I'm in.
So he walks in and they meet, and he's like, wow, there's like so many things I want to tell you, but one is I can relate to what you're going through. Well, I hope so, because I've got a filler appointment around 35 minutes from now. So if you can relate to being in a little bit of a rush, then yeah, you do relate to me.
Yeah. He's like, I mean, your wigs are slightly better than mine, but I get what it's like to have animals. And if someone wanted to take one of my animals, I get it. But when you started talking about putting Tonka down, she's like, well, I never said I was going to put him down. You just took those words that I said about I'm going to have to put him down. And then you assumed that I was going to put him down, which is crazy because I wasn't going to put him down. I was just saying I was going to put him down because I was going to kill him, but not, you know, like kill him just, you know, in this life.
So you weren't contemplating killing Tonka?
No. If there was a donut sitting in front of me and I said, I'm going to eat that donut, what do you think I'm going to eat that donut?
Yeah.
You're eating
a donut.
You're eating a donut.
All right. That's a bad example.
I'll eat the donut, but I'm also going to feed it to all the kids. So there's always more to the story, okay? If you're a camel, you're going to get a donut. If you're a donkey, you're going to get a donut. If you're a capuchin, you're going to get a donut. It's just more to it, you know?
No donut left behind. So Eric's like, so you really weren't going to kill him? She's like, no. And he goes, well, I guess it was smart then to say I'm going to kill Tonka, because then that would make everyone think I don't have Tonka. And then I could live happily ever after with Tonka. She's like, I'm not really understanding your logic, but here's the thing. If I were a donut, would I be in someone's mouth right now? You're still chewing the donut. Right. All right. Bad example. That's a bad example.
You know what? It got to the point where I would have ran to Mexico and would have had coyotes get me across the border with Tonka. And me and Tonka would have lived in Mexico the rest of our lives. I'd build him a cage there and just get me a little veranda and get me some Mexicans to help me. And there we go. Like, pretty simple if you think about it. Just smuggle a chimp across one of the most heavily guarded borders in the country, and you'll live happily ever after, with or without a face, potentially.
Bye. Yeah, I just run across the border in Mexico, get some Mexicans to help me and have a veranda. Duh.
Sure.
And he's like, okay, so why are you okay with talking to me now? She's like, because I just want Tonka to come home. And if this is going to get them to give me Tonka, or at least somebody to come see Tonka, then I'll do it. Because Tonka, you know, he's a kid. And even though I didn't actually bore him, I mean, occasionally I bored him. Oh, God. I guess I did bore him sometimes, you know. One time he made a smiley face out of his poo-poo on the window, and I started telling a story about Jerry, the fucking loser, and then he turned the smiley face into a sad face. So I guess, you know, technically I did bore him sometimes. But anyway, the point is, he's humanzee, okay? He's half human, half chimpanzee. He's not like Jerry, who's half human, half big gulp.
His preference is the human side, though. I can already tell. So they leave, and now it's 5 months later. 5 months since Tonka was removed, and Tanya is walking into the basement. She goes, you know, after Tonk left, I haven't been down here. It's like a mausoleum. You know, these are all his blankets. I haven't touched those. Look, there's a big pile of his poop, which explains a lot of what smells in this house. I didn't really put two and two together, so I'm a little slow on those things. You know, but like, look, and here's a room. You know, he actually had free access to any room that was down here, not just the cage. So, but like,
oh yeah, Tonka had access to the whole house. I mean, I don't want people to think Tonka was just in the cage in the basement. He had the living room. Look, there's a window. He used to love to come up here and just look out the window. Tanya, nobody believes you. No. I do not believe this for one. Tanya, nobody believes you. And he's like, so does anything replace Tonka for you? And she goes, no, nothing replaces Tonka. Oh my God. So then we get this scene where they start playing like the sad song, and she binges. It's just her binging. We see the table is full of donuts and muffins. Everything's really brightly colored.
It's like a
and
it's Homer just Simpson like, donut
don't
too.
Cry out loud, just keep it inside. And she's just like slowly eating the donuts, making mouth sounds. This scene needs to win an Oscar.
She's like, how I cope with things is just be ignoring. I don't talk about it. I just don't act like it exists. So basically, to compensate for Tonka not being here, I'm trying to keep busy getting the zoo prepped, because you just gotta keep your time and space filled and your mind occupied. So she's actually turning her home into a zoo, and she has a whole bunch of animals beyond Tonka, and she's feeding them all donuts. It was like that, the first donuts for her, and the rest are like, she's just going around, pink donut here, pink donut there. It's not.
And it figures with all of the mental stuff going on here that she would also be a feeder, you know, like keep them relying on you, you know, get them addicted to sugar and get them so fat they can't fucking move, you know? Yeah. And so the feeding the donuts and the binging to sad music, I fucking lost it and I will never recover. I'm going to get a clip of that and just put it as a video background on my computer and watch it every day. So then we go to Sarasota, and this is back to Pam, and this is a sad part because Chance has passed away, and she's like, I think my golden years have turned to copper because I lost my child. Chance was jumping around being a chimp, and all of a sudden he just keeled over. Now, I suspect that he was electrocuted by his shock collar when he wouldn't stop watching that Leo DiCaprio scene over and over. Because, you know, Pam ain't taking shit. But I felt bad because I really liked Chance. He was a sweet guy.
I thought that was such a gutting phrase to say, my golden years have turned into copper. I was like, that is so deeply profound. Like, if anything that Chimp Crazy gave us, to me, it was that line. I was like, wow. That line is going to haunt me. My golden years.
Really? I was like, oh my God, the inflation. Thanks, Obama.
I was like, that is such a haunting thing for this lady. You know, like, you know, because the thing is, you have to imagine there are probably a lot of seniors who have felt that way. And I was like, wow. Like, that just like gutted me. I was like, oh, Pam Rosier. So, yeah. So Chance died. And so she's having kind of like a memorial in like a local restaurant.
And everyone's like hugging Pam, like, sorry, Pam, now we can come over to your house at least. And
one of her friends is like, oh my God, how old was he? And she goes, I was 15, just a kid. He was just a kid. She goes, oh my God, that's so sad. So how are you? Did you not hear?
Did you not hear the gold?
What the fuck is wrong? What the fuck is wrong with people? Seriously, when they get like bad news like that, I think we just don't know what to do sometimes with grief. You know, I know I don't. I'll always say something stupid if something terrible. You know, yeah. Just from this podcast, every time something dramatic happens, I say something stupid. You know. But Pam, I guess that's how it is. But I was really like, shut the fuck up. Get out of the funeral. She's like, how do you feel? How are you doing, Pam? So how's it going, Pam? Sorry about your kid. Hey, so Pam. How's everything else, huh? What are you watching?
You ordered nachos, Pam. Do you want in? Pam is gutted because obviously you can tell she feels like she failed the chimp. I think that she takes it very seriously. And also, you know, she basically is like, I'm at an age where I can't really take on a new baby chimp. But she still has three chimps at home. Grown chimps, but I think it seems like she came to this crushing realization that that was her last chimp, and I felt really bad for her.
So then we go to Eric coming to Tonya's house, and she calls him, and he's like, okay, what's going on? She's like, you gotta realize I've got a broken foot, so anything we have to do, I mean, come on. He's like, okay, I just pulled in. She's like, all right, son of a whore, get fucking, I can hear you, Tonya. Ah, sorry. So he's like, so how'd you hurt your foot? She's like, oh, that's another story. Gosh, it is what it is. You know, I wish I could say it was sticking it up Pee Wee Herman's tight ass, so tight it broke my toe. But it's just so much going on with PETA. You know, last Monday there was a ruling that said I had to pay PETA $250,000. I mean, what am I supposed to do about that? How am I supposed to make $250,000? I can't even walk. And then they show her feet as if to insinuate that she's a liar because her shoes are very, her flip-flops are very glamorous. Right. And I see you, Eric. I see what you're trying to insinuate. But I don't care. I'm still on Team Tonya for this. So you could still have a hurt foot and be glamorous about it. I got you, girl.
You know what? All my money's been dumped into the zoo over here. In addition to that, the brokering market, you know, it's pretty low right now. So I can't drive, I can't go pick up animals, I can't do nothing, okay? I'm always just hustling and just trying to, you know, normally I hustle and, you know, I produce every week, but I can't, I haven't really stagnated. It's just like,
yeah, how hard it is not being able to traffic.
You know how hard it is when you know there's a capuchin somewhere and you can't go pick it up? It's like leaving a kid at carpool.
God, what are these monkeys supposed to make themselves extinct? I mean, come on, give me a little help here, all right?
You know, but so we hear like all these voicemails of debt collectors who want their money, but she's got a plan. She's opening up her zoo. So we see like five people come to her zoo and she's like, do I think that as soon as they find out about the zoo, Pee Wee Herman and Brittany Pete will be at the doors? Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, you know, once they get a hold of somebody, they don't turn them loose until basically they're killed. It's classic PETA.
How about classic PETA murders
of people? How about pet up?
So then we go to her cutting a monkey cake, and there's a bunch of customers and stuff at this zoo. Well, a bunch. I say there's like five. And she's like, I hope this is a huge success.
And I was like, this'll make up for the $200,000 you owe.
Yeah. So then Brittany, you know, party in a box. Brittany is over there, and she's like, I think Tonya Zoo is all about serving as a marketing tool for exotic animal sale, and I am not having it. Cut to Tonya.
Well, you know, there's always going to be baby monkeys here. This one's not going to be a baby for long, but don't worry, there's still going to be other ones, you know, and then these babies have to go somewhere. Thank God there are people, some people who are good enough to take monkeys. Huh? You wouldn't have to know any of those, huh? Huh?
Yeah, she's trying to get people to come back to like multiple visits to her zoo. She's like, well, you never know what baby you're going to get to hold this week. Because this one week gets a monkey, another week gets a sloth. You never know what kind of baby you're going to get. So come by every single day, please, everyone. I have a lot of bills to pay.
So then Jared's like, this isn't about Tonya anymore. This is about making sure that animals are safe. And then we cut to her property and we see her zoo like signs, and it's Sunrise Beach Safari Sloth Encounters. That's my Tinder. Sloth Encounters. Sign up. Have you ever wanted someone who just lies there and moves very, very slowly? Call me.
Petting zoo, pony rides, camels, kangaroos, monkeys. So this place just opened up last August, like a year ago. So now she's sitting there with a tray of her donuts and everything. She's like, well, guess what, everyone? I got an email from Jared Goodman, a.k.a. Pee Wee Herman. I write this for the purpose of the potential alternative and resolution. PETA can forego collections if Miss Haddix would agree to go into animal dealing, go out of the animal dealing and the exhibition businesses. So I can't breed, sell, adopt, trade, and negotiate any kind of animals, not just exotics. Sorry, dweeb. That's a bit fucked up.
Yeah, suck my dick, Pee-wee. Well, thankfully, I've got some medicine to make me feel better.
It's like a gigantic plates of donuts.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, the only thing they could get me to stand down, Tonk. That's all they could get me to stand down. Get me back, Tonk. You want me to stop? Get me back, Tonk.
So then she puts on, so then we see her driving and she starts playing. She starts going through her CarPlay to find the perfect song to cry to and emote while she lip syncs badly. And it's my second favorite scene of the year. Loved it. I've already sent it to 30 people. I'm like me right now. Me getting an electric bill. Me getting on the scale. Like, you know, me having to clean up dog poop in 110 degree weather. It's just like her in the car listening to this song. And we hear she's giving kind of a monologue underneath it. And she's like, I love Tonk. He's my whole heart. He's my life. I'd give up everything. Hey, I asked my son to stand in front of this car. He should be coming up on the next block. And boom, boom, boom. He's gone now. Still no Tonk? Oh, well, we tried.
Why doesn't she try to get a job at the sanctuary? That's what I'd like to know. I feel like she should be.
You think Brittany and Jared are going to allow that? And he'd be like, excuse me, you did not pass our requirements.
Listen.
About being a complete psycho kidnapper.
Listen, at the end of the day, she loves these chimps. And if, like, she could be near Tonk, and if they say, like, this is what you have to do, and you can work here and you can be around the chimps, like, it seems like it would actually be a great thing to do. Like, why not put that
love
in something?
Well, that's kind of the ultimate.
Yeah.
Conundrum with Tanya, right? Is that there is kind of that opportunity, like, for plot where she could be like, hey, listen, I've seen the sanctuary and it's actually kind of amazing. You have millions of chimps there. Well, not millions, but 20 chimps. And it would be awesome to come help you. You know, I could help you go get the chimps and then we could bring the chimps and I could, but then there's also the profit angle for her too, that she is actually trafficking these animals still, and she couldn't do that if she's working for PETA. You know what I mean? So that's why ultimately it's hard to feel bad for Tanya. You know, not that that's necessarily an option for her to get a job with PETA, but yeah.
But the thing is, this also is that I think like all her relationship with the chimp is not about how can I give the best life to this chimp. It's like, how can, it's basically like this thing where she's, the chimp is like an avatar, a stand-in for some sort of like permanent maternal relationship she can have with something that needs her. And so she has morphed it and like, and she's rationalized it as like, she's actually giving the chimp what the chimp truly needs, which is her love. And that these sanctuaries don't really know what a chimp needs, because she has to say that, because if she really really considered what the chimp truly needs, she would know that she's not giving it. So that's why she would never really think to like, hey, why don't I try to actually work in conservation? Because she's not really in it for conservation. She's in it for whatever psychological, you know, issues that she has.
Well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's true. I just don't think we all need to. Yeah, you know, it's like, what are the right reasons, you know? I think ultimately we're all kind of guided by some kind of selfishness. I think I'm just a little easier to please in that. I'm like, Tanya, trafficking bad. Monkey's good, you know? Mm-hmm. Give it the trafficking, Ton. Come on, you can do it. You can still listen to sad songs and drive around country roads in bad wigs crying. I mean, I do it.
Yeah, if you really want to be near this monkey, like, find it. You just said before, if you can't beat him, join him. So join him. Go work at the sanctuary.
Yeah, but she doesn't. So she tells a story. She's like, I'm crying out loud. Yeah, if I saw Tonk, I go up to him. I say, hey, Tonk, it's me. Ooh, hoo, hoo. No, I'm behind the couch now. Ooh. Hey, I'm behind the couch on the other side now. Ooh. Then I'd say, sorry, Tonk, they're out of Hello Kitty toys at the McDonald's.
And then I'd say, Tonk, stop masturbating at me. And then I'd say, love you, Tonk.
And then she's like, and just watching, just the shot of her driving on the country road in that wig, singing the wrong lyrics to this song. It's a beautiful show.
Tonk would say, Mom, how come I'm not home? What the hell happened here? So then we see Alan Cumming. I was like, oh, we're really going back to Alan Cumming again.
And Alan Cumming has made a whole meal out of this damn show.
I know. So he's driving to the sanctuary and he's like, I'm feeling actually sort of nervous. Like there's a little turning in my stomach. So many years of hoping I would get to see him again in a place like this. Ah, well. So yeah, it's quite a lot. It feels like a culmination of a really long odyssey. It almost feels like murder. Of my concerns. My concerns have been met. He's good.
Yeah, this whole Alan Cumming thing was a bit of a stretch for me. But they take him out there, and he gets there, and he just observes from afar because, you know, I guess that's good, right? I don't know. I feel like actorly. Yeah, to be like, I'm not going to interfere with the chimp. And I think that's probably good. I don't know. I feel like Tonka has always been around so many people that maybe he would like someone to be like, hey, Tonk. But anyway, he doesn't. He's respectful and kind of just sees Tonk. And I'm not sure what we're supposed to think of Tonka because we see him walking around. First of all, the facility does look amazing. I mean, we see him kind of off to himself in his cage and he comes down and it does look like a prison, you know, but he does come down and climbs down the little ladder and walks around his cage. He walks the yard basically from one end to the other and looks around and he's like, I'm bored. And then he just goes back into his cage. And there's like something depressing about it. Right. But he's also like an older guy. And then we see him hanging out later with the other chimps. And they're walking around freely. And we've got a lot of aerial shots. And it's like very Circle of Life. And it is really beautiful. And I think they really ultimately do a good thing there, like getting to see it. And it's kind of a PETA commercial at this point. But they do seem to do a really good job. But I, as someone who really loves to eat, my ultimate feeling was like, you just stole Happy Meals from this person. And you're acting like this is a great ending. So kind of fuck off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was, we see some like, oh, this is what Tonka's life is like now, but I would have liked more of it. I would have liked to really have seen what Tonka's new life was like. But Alan shows up.
Like, is there bingo? What do they do? Well, does he just walk outside all day? And like, it just looks boring. Like, I feel like he needs more. Like, the man went from playing like Angry Birds to just walking around with no technology, no Happy Meals. It's like fat camp, you know?
So Alan is, you know, crying and he's being... I really felt like this was very actorly, like, oh my goodness, I'm moved, I'm crying. And he's like, oh, there he is. I recognize him. Look at him. Like, you're looking at a phone pole, Alan. Oh, yes, but of course. I'm like, you don't recognize Tonka, Alan. I'm sorry. I think it's very noble what you're doing. Very sweet.
Fix it and boost.
You know, Rene Russo is watching this at home and be like, oh, what a fucking faker, this guy. I didn't like him in that movie, and I don't like him now.
Yeah, he's very much like, there he is, Tonka. Like, that's a cat. But, you know, fix it and post. I can't. There he is. He's coming down the road now. That's a UPS truck. Come on, work with me here. I don't have all day.
So then, now the screen goes dark, and then we hear a doorbell, and then Tanya calls Dwayne. She's like, well, I fucked up. I admit that I did something stupid. He's like, well, where are you? What's going on? You know I'm not the actual director, right? Well, yeah, but like, this is going to be national headlines, okay? Because with my name and on the gym situation, you know it's going to be big. So come on. I mean, I don't even... You got to bring a camera crew down here. He's like, I'm not the director. We know I'm not the director now. It's not a secret anymore. Yeah, well, just bring the camera crew.
I admit it. You know, look, all right. So, you know, I went to see my friend. Okay, she has a chimp, okay, and she has an enclosure, and she has this adult male, you know, and I wanted to see him. He was so sweet through the cage, but as soon as I went in there, man, I didn't even get a chance to sit down. He was mauling me. It was like Charlie Nash. I mean, I got so scared, I had to get out of there, you know. Unfortunately, he got away with my lipstick and my wig, so...
And she has like a little bandage on her ear, which actually was funny to me because it was
definitely kind of like a visual callback to Trump's bandage on his ear during the convention after the assassination attempt. I was like, the ear, the square thing on the ear is like a thing. So she's like, oh, I can't see. I don't want anyone to see it. Okay. Cause it really sticks out. It's really, really bad. Okay. So he's like, well, you don't want us to see it. And she's like, no, I mean, listen, everything's fine. It's great. Everything's great. I think I startled him. I was like, here's your Happy Meal. And then, you know, he mauled me. He was so excited to get his toy. You know, who wouldn't be? God, but they don't have these things at the freaking PETA camp for the monkeys.
And he's like, oh my God. So you got bit really bad? She goes, well, you know, my ear, obviously. And then we see a chunk of her ear is missing. It's not just like a little scratch on her ear. It's an actual, her ear's gone, like a half her ear, it looks like. And she's like, yeah, you know, my ear. And then, you know, my arm was pulled out of location and then, or a socket or whatever. And then, you know, like I, you know, a couple of like little bites on my legs. And then, yeah, my stomach, and then my chest, and my arms, and then my neck, and my, you know, not hardly anything. Like, so everything? So you got everything. Yeah, I ended up driving away in my car with my wig on, smoking my palm off. So, yeah, I mean, not, you didn't get away with much.
I mean, if I didn't happen to have a can of Cheese Whiz to spring into his eyes, I mean, I don't know if I'd still be standing here.
So she is trying to play it down, but at the same time, it's like it's ending with kind of, you don't want to say karma, but you want to say like a lesson, right? Like, okay, the universe really likes this documentary as much as I do, and is trying to tie it up by giving you like story. It's like, here's a theme to end on. And now Tanya learns her lesson, right? She's like, yeah, I'd do it again. I'd fucking do it again.
All right. She learned nothing. Yeah, she's like, listen, you know, if I would own a chimp, or I would own a baboon, or I'd own a capuchin, you know, I'd own any kind of primate that I could potentially do that, okay? And yeah, I would. And, you know, I came up with a new idea. There's this, like, new island here for sale on this very famous island here on the lake. And I would even sell the zoo so I could buy the island. And I just want to get some chimps or some orangutans or even a gorilla. I want something as dangerous as possible to go on that island. And then I'd just be there, too. And we could just be there together. And I'd be like, come on in, Tong, time for your peanut butter. And they could have their peanut butter. Maybe they might maul me. Who knows? But we'd be on an island together. It'd be nice.
Yeah, if they want to do art, they could do art. If they want to come in the house and eat lunch, they could come eat lunch, you know? If they want to, you know, I don't know, take apart my son, get in here. Yeah, he's limping. I mean, he ended up being fine after that car thing. Sit there. Sit there and let me ignore you while I talk about the children that I love in the future. Okay.
So she talks about this. And by the way, while she's talking about this, we see she's talking about her dream, right? And then we see her dreaming. And they illustrate this by putting her in a bikini and she's lying on this boat, just like looking up at the sky. It's an aerial shot of her just going over this dream and just like living kind of in luxury, talking about her island. And then we pull back from her. I mean, there are just so many shots in this that are so, so good. And then we see a shot of her in her bikini standing on the boat, waving a flag in slow motion that says, don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. I mean, with the bandage on the ear, it is very like recent times coded, you know?
Yes.
It's just so well done. And then she says, you know, I would do anything for Tonka. I would name it Tonka Safari. And I don't know. I just want to be with chimps. And that's it. End of story. Just and then it is.
Just want to be with chimps. She just wants to be with chimps. So, yeah. And then it just says there still are no federal laws banning chimpanzee ownership in the United States. And worldwide, the exotic animal black market is pushing wild chimpanzees toward extinction. So,
yeah. Well, overall, I think this was fantastic. Really well done. I even waited through the entire credits to see if it was like a Marvel movie where something happens at the end. But for sure, like there was going to be something.
Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
Infinity
Stone. I was like, oh my God. Like I wanted to see Tonk like kind of like in the back of her car. Like she's driving and then that end of story. And then you just see him pop his little head up like,
that's right, Tonk. Fucking Pee-wee. Never get us.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for being here for our chimp crazy coverage. It was, you know, what a wild
and strange documentary. If you have a chimp at your house, don't invite me over. I'm not going to come over. I like my face and I like my fingers. So,
Or a child.
Yeah, actually a child too. I'll stay away from them as well.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Come back later this week for some secret lives of Mormon wives, plus everything else. And we'll see y'all at Crappy Hour tonight and every other Monday at 5:30. Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Strolling the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Ring that bell for Rachel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.